needing so much the Lord's help and your very prayerful attention, I would direct you to a word in the chapter that we read, the first chapter of the Gospel according to Luke, verse 37. Luke chapter 1, verse 37. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Friends, this word has been upon my mind for several weeks regarding the service here today. I don't know why I've carried it so long, and I don't know why I've brought it, but the Lord knows these things. But friends, I've had to plead this word in that middle hymn you've just sung, and you know the servants of God, they prove time and time again that with God nothing shall be impossible. Because, friends, it's impossible that we can speak the word of God without his gracious help. And indeed, each of our pathways, we have those things that are impossible. To us, they feel to be impossible. Whether it's matters of soul, matters of providence, things for next week, things for the coming months, things that seem as mountains before us, and we cannot see a way forward. Friends, what a lovely word this is. If the Lord was to give us just a touch of faith. Friends, faith that is, as it were, sufficient to move a mountain. And it just needs a touch of faith. But I don't know about you, but with me, it's like this. I read this word and I think, I don't really believe it. And you might say, well, haven't you been in the way some years? You've been a deacon, now you're a minister, and you don't believe the word you read? Friends, unless the Lord gives us that touch of faith that I've referred to already, we will not believe. We cannot believe. Unbelief is with us. It's with us, friends, because our own heart will not believe, and the enemy doesn't want us to believe it for the Lord's people. He will put everything in the way to prevent it. And you know what? Zacharias didn't believe, did he? The angel Gabriel, you might have said, was the chief of the angels. He's in front of him, and he even says, does he not, as we read, I am Gabriel, that stand in the presence of God. In other words, he's saying, why are you doubting me? But friends, you and I don't doubt, we doubt God. We doubt that he is able to do those things. You know, my mind goes straight away to Sarah. Abraham and Sarah, that lovely word, very close to this word. Is anything too hard for the Lord? In Genesis 18, I think that is, friends. Is anything too hard for the Lord? And there she was. She laughed within the tent. Are you laughing in your soul as the Lord has given you a promise? Have you laughed? Have you responded in that way? Lord, this cannot be. Maybe there's a pathway you've got to walk in. There's an exercise that you carry. And you say, Lord, this cannot be. I cannot go in that way. Like Sarah, you laugh within yourself. You wouldn't wish to upset the Lord, of course, but it's our natural response, friends, because it's sin. Sin of unbelief. We often think about sin, when we talk about sin, are those things that we actually commit, as it were. Sins of thought, word and deed. They're solemn. They are solemn, friends, but the sin of unbelief, oh, doesn't it rise up within us? It does with me, friends. It does. Even when the Lord has spoken, even when I felt the Lord has given a promise in something, you know, unless he come, unless he gives us faith, we will not believe. So Sarah, she denied. She said, I laughed not, because suddenly she was afraid of the power that she saw exhibited by that angel that appeared unto her. But what a lovely word, friends. Do you need it this morning? Is anything? Anything, friends? You know what you've got in your pathway. You know what you've come in. You've come in perhaps burdened. You've carried a weight into Dicker Chapel this morning, friends. You brought that weight in. I say to you, this word here, is anything too hard for the Lord? Or, as we've taken as our text, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Do you believe it, friends? Oh, that he would give us then just that element of faith to believe that promise, that word that he has spoken. It will be fulfilled. The day will come when we shall see the Lord have done it. He have done it his way. And as for God, his way is perfect, friends. And you might say, well, that which I'm walking through at the moment is far from a perfect way. I'm walking in this deep trouble, this deep trial. I feel to be in Job's ditch. I'm right down there. Is it the wrong pathway? Is it the wrong way? My Father's hand prepares the cup, and what he wills is best. Oh, my friends, it's not easy. It's not easy. And he will have us to walk through these low places. He will have us to walk in these dark places so that we prove that with God nothing should be impossible. Because, friends, he will bring us out from them from time to time. And even in them will bless us. We will see the power of God in those dark places at times because he's bringing us to pray. He's bringing us to lean upon him. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. In the Greek, this word nothing actually is no word. No word shall be impossible. So what does that mean, no word? It means, as I see it, friends, a word that the Lord has given you, that perhaps today, even as you sit in Dicker Chapel, you doubt. You think, well, I had that word. I had that precious promise, but I don't feel it today. I doubt it. And the enemy tells you, no, you didn't really have it. You thought it. You thought that. It came into your mind. Maybe you think that yourself. Oh, I don't know whether that was real with the Lord. That still small voice that I hope I had those many years ago. Or maybe that word of guidance, and now you're walking in that pathway and you think, well, it's a contrary pathway because everything's going wrong. But friends, when the Lord refreshes us, doesn't he? And we see that with him, nothing shall be impossible. Nothing. No word then, as it says in the Greek. No word. That word that you have had will come back again. You will rest in it again. You will rest in his love, poor sinner. You will do. You might feel to be at the ends of the earth. But you know, the Lord knows where you are. He knows what you're walking through. He knows your soul trouble. He knows that deep pathway. He knows it all, friends. You and I are the doubters. You and I are the ones who put on that, as it were, that straight face because we can't feel the Lord is nigh. But he is, friend. He's still near. He sees us when we see not him. He sees us. Oh, what a lovely word. Thou God seest me. Yes, he sees you, friends. In all your trouble, in all your loneliness, in all your despair, in all your difficulties, in all your burdens, he sees you. And friends, he's a delivering God, for with him nothing shall be impossible. You think of the biggest, most impossible thing is that any of us should be saved. That any of us should have a hope as poor, wretched sinners in the Lord Jesus. It's impossible, friends, that we can find a way to heaven. But with God, salvation's way was made. Salvation's way through the birth of the dear babe that we look to and do celebrate at this time of the year. And it's a right word, friends. Let us celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus as helped by him. It's right to do it. And to consider that sweet babe of Bethlehem, that he came there, that he was conceived, as we read of, in that remarkable way. And it was all that he should save his people from their sins. Was it to save you, sinner? Was it to save me? Oh, I hope that we will be raised. I love that term, to a lively hope. Not just a hope, but a lively hope. There's life in it, friends. There's life in believing that the Lord has made that way for us. But it was impossible. It's impossible in flesh. We can't do it, friends. You know, I've said elsewhere, four of the most important words of the Bible are the first four words. In the beginning, God. For you, for me, friends, if the work's right, it started with God, it will end with him. In the beginning, God. Impossible. Impossible that you, that my soul, your soul, should be saved. But with God. With God, nothing shall be impossible. So whether in circumstances or whether in ourselves, the Lord is above it all, friends. And for his people, his goodness will, must find out a way. You know, Mr. Covell, Francis Covell, you will have read of, perhaps, or heard of course, who was pastor for many years at West Street Croydon. When that man was exercised about the ministry, he was most concerned because he'd got a natural stammer and he felt he was going to stand in the way. How could he stand up in front of the people and speak to them? He felt, but the Lord gave him that impression that when he would go into the pulpit, he would lose his stammer. Naturally impossible. You know, he had a shop in Croydon, and one day a customer came in and she couldn't make any sense of what he was saying. And she said, "Can I speak to the boss?" Well, he did. He was a shop owner himself. He was the boss. And that was how difficult that man found it to communicate. Well, anyway, the Lord worked in him and he had to go and speak in the Lord's name. First of all, in a little room in Croydon. And you know, they said, someone remarked after the first sermon he preached, but he didn't stammer. The thing, with God, nothing should be impossible. And you know, that man never stammered in the pulpit. In fact, generally in life, his stammer was gone. You know, friends, it's most remarkable. If someone had said that would have happened, they would have doubted it. But the Lord gave him that faith to believe it. Just one example. You know, and I hope you, as you sit now in the pew and listen to this word, I hope your soul is alive to be considering this, friends. What things have I seen in my life? What things have I seen that the Lord has done that to me were impossible? To look back. That to look back those 40 years in the wilderness, those 5 years, those 2 years, those however long it is, friend, that you hope the Lord has been working with you. To look back and to see the things that God has done for you. I wonder. We do well to ponder. And I would say, take it away in the interval of services, friends. Think about it, you know. It's not just coming in, hearing the word and going. What does it say? Be ye doers of the word also. And one of the things to do is to go away, friends, and to reflect. Oh, I have often thought, I wish I was more of a reflector. Are you a reflector in the things of God? We love the reflectors. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. May the Lord bless the ponderers. Yes. Oh, but may he give us then that consideration during the break to look back, to see those things that we have seen, that the Lord has done. And may by looking back, each sweet Ebenezer I have in review confirms his good pleasure, friends, to help me right through. Oh, poor soul that's in the dark place today. Poor soul that feels so troubled in soul or in pathway. Friends, look back. He's brought you all this way. Can he then leave you in trouble in the end? Oh, I think that hymn comes to mind. Can he have brought me to trust in his name and thus far have taught me to put me to shame? In the end, he won't, friends. Oh, he's a kind, he's a gracious, he's a performing God. And nothing, absolutely nothing, shall be impossible. Did ever trouble yet befall, and he refused to hear thy call? Has he not his promise passed? Thou shalt overcome at last. And I see in that at last, friends, and it may be so for the older friends, it may be some a bit younger, but you fear the Jordan. You fear, friends. The enemy comes in and says, yes, you've been a believer all these years, but you'll fail when you cross the River Jordan in that last gasp. When you come to die, you'll be alone on your deathbed. Friends, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And I do believe that the Lord's people will be carried across that last enemy, that great enemy that stands before them, across that River Jordan, shouting, crying the triumphs of their King. Oh, friends, whatever your matter today, take it to the Lord in prayer. Oh, I would beg of you to do it. We do lack faith so much. We do need our faith to be strengthened. You know, if we had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, then, as the Lord said, this tree will be removed. Things can be done in the Lord's name. You know, we read at home this morning, and I opened on it, we read that little word regarding the marriage at Cana of Galilee, where the Lord Jesus made the water into wine. And what was lovely was this, and it struck me. They filled the water pots to the brim. To the very brim, almost as if they were fully filled up. And why was that? Obviously they wanted enough wine to go round, but it was that the power of God will be so fully exhibited that every single bit of water there, the fullness of all the pots should be in this beautiful wine. And the governor of the feast had not tasted wine like it. Wine on the lees, well refined, friends. That's this Lord Jesus and what he brings. For with God, well, that was impossible. Water made into wine, utterly impossible. But friends, with God, nothing should be impossible. And my thoughts have been this week, I woke up one morning, you know, thinking about Elijah. And we read that at home. How he was there, he was sent down. And maybe there's a friend that needs guidance. You need the Lord to send you to the brook Cherith. Get thee hence to the brook Cherith. Oh, may the Lord guide and direct you in whatever way it is. But he did guide, didn't he, Elijah? And there he was by the brook. But what so touched me was this, the ravens. They brought him bread and flesh in the morning and bread and flesh in the evening. And you know, friends, I felt there was a sermon preached to me in that, because that's utterly impossible. You will know a little about ravens. I don't know much about them either. But I know this. They are birds. They are scavengers. They will take everything that they can take. They even, I understand, scavenge against their own fellow ravens. They're clever birds, and they're clever enough that they will actually, if they know an animal has died, they will even attract other animals, such as a wolf, to open up the carcass so that they then can enter in. But they then go and hide the food, and they'll hide it in different places, and they'll watch each other hiding it, and they'll go and steal another raven's food. That's the nature of the animal, of the bird. That's the nature of the bird that was overcome by God's power. That's the nature, naturally, of them. And God's power was exhibited. You see, we read these things. Well, he brought them bread and flesh in the morning. But do we really? Unless the Lord revealed to us that I've taken this bird, this most intelligent of creature, of birds, and I've taken this bird who is naturally one that will steal, and I'm going to use that bird to feed my prophet. Friends, that God is the same God in the 21st century. And your matter that is so big to you is nothing to this God. Bread and flesh in the morning, bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. So he had his water. Thy bread and thy water shall be sure. And so it was for the prophet, and friends, so it will be for you. I don't know your position at all, but friends, it will be. The Lord will provide. He will sustain. He will be with you. And so the prophet there, he proved it, but it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain. But then the Lord again said, arise, get thee to Zarephath. Guidance and direction. Oh, friends, it may be one needs that this morning. The Lord will give it in his way. In his way. For with God, nothing. Oh, that lovely word, nothing. And it means nothing, friends. Yes, as I said, in the original Greek, that was no word, and I do think that's a comfort if the Lord would apply that for those that have had those words, those that are resting on promises and perhaps can't feel them so much today, because that word will not be impossible. It will come back again to you. It will be brought back in with power. It will be a word you will be able to live in, friends. I verily believe it. God's word says that. And you know, this text is from Genesis to Revelation. Right through the Word of God, we see time and time again that with God nothing shall be impossible. There's 4,000 men beside women and children. There's 5,000 men beside women and children. And they're all going to be fed. But there's a lad here. The lad here, he's got 5 fish and 2 barley loaves. But they're all going to be fed, friends, because the power of God is such. That beautiful little sentence. You know, I love the short sentences in God's word. Power belongeth unto God. Oh, friends, it does. That we might believe it. That we might see it. That we might recognize it. Power. And we mentioned the still small voice earlier, friends. There's power in a still small voice. You know, the Lord often speaks that way. We're looking for the earthquake. We're looking for the fire. But the still small voice, friends. Has the Lord spoken to you in a still small voice recently? Ah, isn't it lovely? The soft whisper of the Lord Jesus. Come, my soul, come away. I love thee well, my child. Thou art all fair, my love. There's no spot in thee. Ah, friends, wouldn't it touch your heart if the Lord was to whisper those words of love and mercy? This Jesus that we sang of, this Jesus that we read of in this chapter, thou shalt bring forth a son, call his name Jesus, King of kings, Lord of lords, He who is to be glorified. Ah, for with God nothing shall be impossible. You know, friends, it comes to mind, I would lovingly commend you to pray for the deacons and the hymns they give out. I know you pray for your pastor. I commend you to do that too. But you know, I remember once that I was very exercised about giving the right hymn out on the, well, we hope we often were, but on this particular occasion, it was such a burden with me. And the hymn that was upon my mind was that lovely hymn of Cowper, God Moves in a Mysterious Way, 320. And I said to my wife, it was the morning of a Thanksgiving service, I feel I perhaps ought to give that hymn out, but I keep giving it out of late and I feel rather tried about it. Well, I did beg of the Lord that he might give me a sign. And you know, afterwards, friends, I thought, well, what sign can I get? Well, you know, it's not long till the service, what can we get? Doubting heart. Oh, friends, don't we doubt him? Doubting Thomas. Well, on that occasion, it was doubting Mark, friends. I'll tell you, I did. I doubted that the Lord could confirm that. Well, he did it in a most remarkable way. Because, friends, this is only a small thing. But, friends, small things, they speak to us, don't they? We don't forget them. We had a neighbour who'd recently lost their wife. They died. And we hadn't given him a card. We wanted to condole with them, of course. And I said to my dear one, I'll go over and see him and deliver the card. I knocked on the door and he said, come in, Mark. And we went in and he said, I must tell you about Janet's end. And actually, she was someone who went to the church. How remarkable it was that the doctor came out, that it all happened quickly and it was all so peaceful. And he said, and I'll tell you something else, Mark. God moves in mysterious ways. You know, I came away from that place and I wept because the Lord had confirmed that hymn. And then when the Lord's servant said later that day, I'm so glad you gave that hymn out, Mark, that was helpful to me. I could see from the beginning to the end the work of God in such a small thing, friends. And you might sit there and think, well, that's so small. Friends, what call we small things? Sin's whole cancelled some. These little things in our lives, grab hold of them. Don't let them go. When I say about looking back and having a review of where you've come and where you've been and pondering it over, ponder the small things, friends, the small things from the Lord Jesus, the still small voice, the small, the little things, grab hold of them and present them before the Lord and thank him for what he's done in those little things because they're signs, they're tokens, they're wonders, friends. Yes, I know, with the children of Israel, they saw the sea divide and they walked right through. Friends, that's wonderful. They're massive things. But friends, we're going to see the Lord's work often in little things. Oh, do, I beg of you, do look at the little things. Be encouraged by them and go on in them feeling the Lord has done this, the Lord has done that. Precious is the name of the Lord to me for what he has done. And so we have to prove with God nothing should be impossible. Friends, I want to talk about Daniel, you know. Daniel. And of course the young friends will think immediately about Daniel and the den of lions. And that is indeed a most remarkable circumstance. But Daniel was a remarkable man in so many ways. The Lord gave him the ability to interpret the dreams and such like. But the thing that really struck me, I mean, was the king, I think it's Belshazzar, the king, and he made a great feast. And we don't read anything about Daniel, first of all, but this is what we read. And I thought this is something that's so impossible, but also very solemn. And it says this, that as they drank wine, he was making this feast to 1,000 of his lords, and he was not a man that feared God, but they were drinking wine and praising the gods of gold and of silver. Friends, what a warning for you and I. Praising the gods of gold and silver, I say, be warned, so should I. Materialistic day is the 21st century, and our heart can go with it any age. Oh, may the Lord keep us. But there they were, drinking wine, praising the gods of gold. And in the same hour, friends, can you imagine this? There were fingers of a man's hand writing on a wall. Just a hand writing on a wall. Young people, can you imagine that? A hand on a wall writing. The hand of God has written the names of his elect in a book, friends. In thy fair book of life and grace, oh, may I find my name. May that ever be your prayer and my prayer. Recorded in some humble place beneath my Lord the Lamb. Oh, friends, but that hand, and so, as I say solemnly, the hand of God has written about each of us. Each of us, he's written, friends. And he's written for those that will be saved, that word. They are mine, saith the Lord. When I make up thy my jewels, they shall be mine. Oh, what a wonderful handwriting that is, friends, on that wall. May that be about you and me. May it be an exercise to us. If you've never been exercised before, think of this, a hand writing on the wall. And there it was, this king. This hand wrote on the wall. And he wrote over the candlestick. And the king's countenance was changed. Because he only saw a hand. There was no man. There was no person with the hand. The hand writing on the wall. Oh, friends, how solemn was this? And the king felt this. His knees smote against one another. Well, we use the expression that our knees are knocking when we're nervous. The king wondered what it all meant. He did not follow God at all. And he cried aloud. He brought in the astrologers and everybody else. And he was greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed. And then Daniel came, and Daniel was, in the end, you can read about it in Daniel 5, but in the end, the writing that was written, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upsharin, this is the interpretation of the thing. God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. And this, one of these words is so solemn to me, Tekel. Thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. None of the Lord's people will be found wanting. They're in one balance with all their sins, and balance the other side is the precious blood of the dear Saviour. Friends, for with God nothing shall be impossible, and his blood has measured off in the balance. But for those that are lost, friends, we have to preach the way the word of God is. It's so solemn. And I hope you will think, those young friends, that you will think about that hand writing upon the Lord. God did that, friends. It was impossible that he should do that, to bring that king to that place. But he did it. And the king proved it. And we read solemnly, that very night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain. Because thou art found weighed in the balances and found wanting. And so, friends, we go on in the next chapter with the next king. The next king, Darius. And he said this, and that's what really brought me to think about Daniel, really. Darius said this, is thy God whom thou servest continually able? I ask you the question, with the matter you've got this morning, is thy God, and I do hope you serve him continually, friends, able? And the words come in of the hymn, he is able, he is willing, doubt no more, friends. Oh, it's the words of our Heavenly Father, you know, don't doubt, I will do it. The thing that is too hard, the cause that is too hard for thee, bring it unto me. I will bear it. I will carry it. I will perform it. Ah, the power of Almighty God. As we have said already, may you prove it in your pathway, friends. May you prove it in the coming week. I don't know what's before you. I don't know what's before me. But you know some of the things you fear. Why those fears? Behold, 'tis Jesus. Holds the helm. Guides the ship. Oh, dear friends, may you prove it to be the case. As Daniel proved to be the case. because he prayed. He opened the windows of heaven towards Jerusalem and he prayed three times a day, despite the fact that the king had passed a decree that the king only was to be worshipped. And then he realised his error, didn't he? Is thy God able? And Daniel, well, he was able to answer, wasn't he, and say, thy God, my God, have shut the lion's mouths. Maybe you've got a lion, friends, in the way. Maybe there's something there that is in the way. You know, friends, I don't know. The Lord knows. The Lord can make a way. Yes, iron bars and brazen gates, wrestling prayer can wonders do. Bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can part. So passage through iron bars, brazen gates. Quote these words. Do we ponder them? Brazen gates, iron bars, friends. Ah, this Lord, this God, the power of God, which is beyond anything we can think. Well, the Lord Jesus spoke also in Jeremiah. Behold. Jeremiah, you know, he was a prophet for 40 years, prophesied, and they would not listen to him. And he prophesied the fall of Judah, and then again that Judah would see better days. But he prophesied, and he bought a parcel of land, we read. And the Lord worked in enabling him to do that. And he says this, behold, the Lord said to him regarding this parcel of land, behold, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Oh, friends, I would that the Lord would give us some faith, to truly give us more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in him. And friends, then we go on our way rejoicing. Then we walk out of Dicker Chapel with a smile on our face this morning. That we've got that faith to believe in him, that confidence in him, that I have purposed it. I also will do it. He's a performing God, friends. A performing God. And he will do that which seemeth right unto him. But do continue in prayer. Do continue to seek him. And do carry on, dear friends. Do carry on in the pathway, despite it all, despite the old enemy, despite yourself, and despite those thoughts that come in so often, those things that feel to really, and the thoughts of our heart and mind, that they're with us to trouble us, aren't they? Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you will be also. Oh, to live eternally with the Lord Jesus Christ, friends. When we're singing eternity, we're going to sing throughout eternity, friends. This verse, for with God nothing should be impossible. That's what we'll be singing. The song of impossibility upon earth. The song of God's possibility in giving us salvation. The song of love to him. The song of eternal praise. For God hath done it. His glory hath wrought it. His power has brought it to pass. And we will sing. And we will sing where congregations never break up. Where Sabbaths have no end. Well, may the Lord forgive our few remarks. May he add his blessing. Amen.